Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 19th, 2026. Welcome back to The Wake Up Call. My name is Matt LaRoy, and I'm really enjoying being with you this week. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this with you. And I'm excited to keep walking through the Gospel of Matthew, following Jesus on this discipleship journey. So that's what we're here to do today. We're here to follow Jesus and we're here to meet with Jesus. And that's what the wake up call is every day. And so to prepare ourselves for that, we always gather ourselves, we open our hearts and minds, and we pray this prayer of consecration together so that we might not just hear the word, but be shaped by it, be transformed by it, and then live in response to it. So let's prepare ourselves for that today. Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. We're praying this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's scripture passage is coming from Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now consider this. My friend Silas was one of the brightest minds and deepest souls in our Bible study. His insights were even more poignant when considering the long and broken road of his life. He was in and out of homelessness, navigating the cycles of his addiction, breaking free from a past of using and selling drugs. One day, I called Silas's phone and I got his voicemail. I'll never forget his message. It said, "You've reached Silas's phone. I'm making some changes in my life. If I'm not answering your call, you might be one of those changes." I love that. We know that change doesn't always equal growth, but growth always requires change. And as you follow Jesus, you will be one of those changes. It is part of the cost of discipleship. We see that up close in today's passage. The invitation to cross to the other side of the lake is contrasted against the gathering of the large crowd around Jesus. The momentum is building. The brilliant Sermon on the Mount, the healing of the sick, a trail of transformation in his wake. But then, instead of capitalizing on this wave of popularity, he invites his disciples to step away from the crowd and into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. Why? Well, because Jesus has compassion on the crowds, but he never has confidence in them. The crowd is energized by shared enthusiasm, but enthusiasm will never be enough to sustain a life of discipleship to Jesus. Enthusiasm is easy to stir up. It's even easier to kill. It's born in the spark of a moment, and it fades just as quickly as that moment that gave birth to it. It's far more likely to inspire a mob than a movement. So, Jesus invites his disciples to step away from the faceless crowd, to move beyond excitement or curiosity or even affinity into risk, accountability, intimacy, and apprenticeship, into an ever-deepening and ever-expanding community that is built around and defined by relationship with Jesus. The other side of the lake is an interesting phrase. I love those words and the way that it is worded there. It strikes me as this image of costly discipleship, of stepping away from the crowd into a journey that many are not willing to make. And maybe I'm reading too much into that, but as the story continues, it seems that Jesus is pressing this point as two candidates step forward and volunteer to go. First, we have a teacher of the law, and he says, "Teacher, I will go with you wherever you go. I'll follow you wherever you go." This is a promising start. A scholar of the Torah, a spiritual leadership position of respect in the culture, and he's so moved by the teaching and authority of Jesus that he wants to follow. But Jesus gives him this cryptic response. "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Here we have a man with a respected position, and he's being asked to trade it in for no place to lay his head. Rather than being impressed with this man's position and leveraging it to advance or spotlight his ministry, Jesus asks him if he can let it go. Positions don't move the kingdom forward, and sometimes they can hold disciples back. Next, we have another disciple, it says, who steps out and declares his commitment to follow with one caveat. "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Sometimes the words of Jesus can be confusing. Other times they can be flat out offensive. And this moment kind of covers both of those. But as we wade a little deeper into the context of that time and culture, more understanding comes to the surface. In the Jewish culture, adult children had a defined societal expectation and responsibility to care for aging parents. So when this disciple asks for permission to bury his father first, he's not referring to a funeral planned for tomorrow. He's not asking if he can be present for his grieving mother. He's saying that he has other responsibilities, societal expectations, and higher ranking priorities. He's going to fully commit to Jesus at some point. It will just need to be somewhere in the future, once he gets things all lined up and in order, when the time is right. Jesus sees through the facade and doesn't let him hide behind honor. He doesn't have time to wait around for funerals. He is on his way to a resurrection. He reminds us that the kingdom is here and the gospel is urgent. The time is now. In both of these cases, Jesus is not saying no. It might seem like that on the surface, but he's not really saying no. Instead, he's defining yes. And Jesus loves us enough to be plain and clear about the realities of his vision. He spells out the cost right up front. And as the chapter unfolds, we see exactly why. This journey to the other side of the lake takes them straight into a furious storm that threatens their lives. Jesus, who's been sleeping through the whole thing, rebukes the storm and calms it. As they reach the other side, they immediately encounter two demon-possessed men, described as living among the tombs and being so violent that no one will pass their way. Out of one storm and into two more. Still want to get into this boat with Jesus. Jesus intentionally is binding his disciples together through these crucible experiences. But most importantly, he's teaching them to trust him. And the same invitation finds its way to us today. Standing on the shore, we see where this might lead us. The enthusiasm snuffed out by wind and waves, the crowd of excited voices fading in the distance. There is still room in the boat, and he's inviting you to join him there. Will you follow Jesus to the other side of the lake? Here's our prayer for today. Jesus, help me to step out of the safety of the crowd. Don't let me hide behind excuses and promises about later. Empower me to get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. Here are a couple of journal prompts for us to spend some time thinking about today. Have you joined Jesus in the boat? If not, what is holding you back? If so, what storms have you faced along the way? And how did Jesus lead you through? A little extra today that I want to share. I do have a confession about this passage. I've been stuck on this passage for probably about 25 years. And like I said before, there's something about the wording there of the other side of the lake. I remember when it first impacted me. I was a youth pastor studying to preach on these verses. Shout out to my friends at Trinity Wesleyan Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, who gave me my first ministry job. Thank you so much. I love those students and they continue to be dear friends, and the parents. Oh, I love all y'all so much. So I remember studying for a sermon there, and it was on this passage, and I just couldn't get past that language. There was something about it that grabbed me, something that just kind of became this image for me ever since, for 25 years, about the cost of following Jesus, that image of crossing to the other side of the lake, an enduring symbol for me of discipleship. Through the years, I've come back to that. I'm thinking about some of the youth camps that I had the honor of being a part of and preaching at, and the challenge of this message. And sometimes if the camp had a lake or a river or any kind of body of water at all, we would literally walk out of the worship service for a commitment time and walk to the edge of that water and stand there and sit with that and be challenged by the Holy Spirit, asking us that question, if we were willing to cross to the other side of the lake. I remember one particular camp in Iowa where they didn't have a lake, but they did have a river. And so we improvised with that. And we went to the edge of the river and asked students to stand with that question. And it was a silent time. Everybody was reflecting, and it was just completely quiet. If you can imagine, you know, hundreds of teenagers being quiet all at once at camp, they were. It was silent. And then I remember one particular student named Peter. It wasn't enough for him to stand there and contemplate the question. He took it seriously, and he took a few steps into the river, and then a few more, and a few more. And next thing I know, Peter is swimming to the other side and embracing this in such a powerful way. And it was a ripple effect. Other students around him, a couple of more, were moved by that. And it's almost like they were just waiting for somebody else to take that first step. And they went too. And I'll never forget that. Just the image of all of these students swimming across this river to the other side, embodying in such a beautiful way and celebrating it on the other shore, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and embracing that call. And then I remember my friend Vicky and Vicky Stocking, who was a part of our church congregation, and she came into church one day. She would kind of come in the back and late and then leave early so she wouldn't talk to anybody. She's just kind of scoping the place out. And there was one day where she decided to take the plunge and to step into this community and to step into this discipleship relationship when we were preaching on this passage. She walked out the door and she shook my hand and she said, "I'm getting in the boat with Jesus." And she sure did, because Vicky went all in. I remember we had a prayer meeting where oftentimes I was the only person there and Vicky would show up and it would be the two of us for this prayer meeting. Vicky ended up bringing her husband, Bob, who at the time had stepped away from the faith because of some hurt that he experienced in his life. And Vicky brought him back into that relationship with the church and with Jesus. And then Vicky's daughter, and then Vicky's daughter's husband, and now their child, and even Bob's parents. So generations that stepped into the church and into that Jesus relationship. So I'm thinking of Vicky today when we're talking about this passage. As you can tell, it's a special passage to me, and those people are so special to me as well. So, all right, that's enough. Let's dive in to our hymn for today. We always close with a hymn, and today's hymn is another just classic of the church, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's hymn 37 in our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. And today, our song leader is another really dear friend of mine. Someone that I admire, someone that I look up to, someone who embodies what this life of living to going to the other side of the lake really does look like. Her name is Reverend Jen Peterson, and Jen is a church planter of Resurrection Life Church in New York City. She's also the CEO of a Christian relief and development organization named World Hope International. You can look them up at worldhope.org. They're bringing clean water to communities without access to it, health care for children with disabilities, and recovery for victims of human trafficking. Absolutely beautiful work that they're doing. Jen has lived out today's call to follow Jesus into places where others are often afraid to go. So I thought it was very fitting for her to lead us today. So we'll close out with that. Thanks for being with us again today. I look forward to seeing you here tomorrow. And of course, I will also see you out there on the field, or maybe I'll see you on the other side of the lake. To leave.